Good morning and welcome to Our Black News. I'm Don Allen. I'm joined by Mr. Larry Tucker, Mr. James E. King from San Diego, who gets up early in the morning at 7:30 to join us every Saturday, except for last Saturday, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And from the Scott Collection, Mr. Anthony Scott. And again, above North Minneapolis, businessman, stakeholder, Larry Tucker. Yeah, I'm just checking out, you know, what's going on here in the hood and what people are up to. And we did not have a Thanksgiving show on the Saturday after Thanksgiving because I know that all of us had commitments. I know I had relatives in town that I had to cook, clean, wash dishes, and mop floors and sweep for because it was their chance to be waited on, as I should do, which is a responsibility. But if they're watching, next time you could at least ask to wash a dish. Thank you. I'm sorry, I just do that. Hey, Anthony, there's something going on with you. And
Grandpa used to say the same thing about you, Don.
Oh, what's that?
You could at least ask to wash the dish.
Yeah, I do.
You know, Grandma used to say the same thing when we went to her house.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Take the garbage out. Yeah. Take the garbage out first, and then come back.
Yeah, you're supposed to do some different stuff around the holiday time. But is there some kind of sports thing going on, Anthony, that you need to have a conversation with James about before we get rolling into some talking about some anything? I need you all to get that off your chest.
Okay? Well, just real quick, not really a sports thing. I mean, but just James' teams and his, you know, his Pittsburgh team and his coach. You know, they're under siege right now. His quarterback is way past his use-by date. Can't move anymore. And so but my only bone to pick, like I say, with James was just I tried to get into his show, and I was a little late because I still had some holiday food, and I fell asleep, and then I tried to get in, and I guess he said it's not a drop-in center, and I wasn't able to get into the show, but I was waiting to join the conversation.
Oh, well, that's I'll let James respond to that because
please,
doesn't sound like James at all.
Well, first of all, you know, when it comes to the Steelers, like you said, we have a quarterback that's way past his use-by date, but we have a coach that's not going anywhere, okay? We have one of the best coaches in the NFL. Mr. Mike Tomlin is not going anywhere. So, as far as that's concerned, hey, we'll be black next year also.
Well, I just would like to retort to that very quickly before we get into our conversation with James. He will be there if he makes the playoffs. He'll be there. If they do not make the playoffs, sayonara.
Mike Tomlin will be there regardless of the playoffs, just like Kirk Cousins is playing regardless of whether or not he's vaccinated.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, but yeah, but Mike Tomlin's black. But anyway,
Oh, you pulled the race card out. You know, that was a Republican thing of you to do. And you're looking out. Yeah.
Please. I have a lot to say about your Republican people. But
I know. And Anthony, deep down inside, we know that, you know, you want to be a part of this.
Don, I do have a bone to pick with you, though, Don.
Okay, I didn't do nothing, but go ahead. Go ahead, please.
No, because I did a show on black conservatives for over a month, and I invited you every time.
Well, that's because I am a centrist that leads right. So if I was a true black conservative, I would have had to jump at the opportunity to join my friend's show to use those antiquated talking points that really don't make much sense. And I like to be right here in the middle you know, throwing gasoline on both sides, and seeing what we come up with, you know. Okay. So I apologize, but I do owe you. Yeah, I will make a show in the near future.
I will make sure that I call you a centrist and not a conservative. I'll make that.
Okay. Yeah, that leans to the right, like the right. Okay. So hey, Mr. Tucker, we haven't heard from you yet. How was your holiday, Thanksgiving? You know, your family, et cetera, et cetera. What's going on?
I went to my oldest daughter by my second wife. How's that?
Well, that's the way to like lock it in.
That's about it. I had my, I got two grandsons that are living off me right now. And I tell them that you can't smoke in the house. So we did a little discussion about that.
Well, that's understandable. Yeah, I know I could not. Go ahead, Mr.
I don't like cigarette smoke, so.
Oh, okay.
I'll leave that alone.
Mr. Tucker, can you afford a third?
No.
I don't smoke, I promise.
Yeah. It, you know, I'd rather clothe them than feed them. Boy. One of my grandson's metabolism is, you know, he'll get some bacon and eggs and spend a half hour in the bathroom. You know.
Oh, you got one of those.
Your metabolism is high.
Wow. That sounds like my 10-year-old. He will eat, bathroom. Come back, eat in the hour. But he's not going anywhere till all that food is done. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I'm glad everyone had like a great, you know, week off or whatever to do what you needed to do to get things done. There's a lot
I didn't have any chitterlings.
That's okay. You didn't miss anything.
Not this time.
Chitlins. Yeah, I mean, I guess chitlins are good. I just was deterred by the smell of something like that cooking. And after I found out in my formidable years what that was, I just decided at a very early age, tender age of 9, that I was not going to participate in eating or cooking any chitlins, period.
Yeah, I know this lady that works for St. Paul Chamber of Commerce. And she says, I don't eat chitterlings. I said, I don't eat chitterlings neither. ain't no R, it's chitterlings. Chitlin. Ain't no chitterlings, it's chitterlings.
Yeah. She wanted to like say the correct how she thought it was, but anyway, there's a lot going on, you know, even locally here in the Twin Cities, but as well as nationally with the school shootings, and then in Iowa, the two young men that killed their 66-year-old Spanish teacher, and which is not getting a whole lot of play because the of course, as it should, the killing of 4 kids. And injuring 7 to 14 more of the school shooting, it's kind of overwhelmed the news media. And these again are not black kids shooting anybody, because the outcomes I think would be a lot different. But it's children, white children in public schools, you know, killing kids, bringing guns to school, and which is horrible to begin with. But even in the Twin Cities. We had, there was a youth, a high schooler that went to school here in the Twin Cities. And I'm not going to be specific what district, because it's neither here nor there. You can Google it and it will come up in the Star Tribune pretty quickly. But it was told that he brought a gun to school and later that day left school and ended up killing someone at a gas station. on White Bear, White Bear Avenue, White Bear Lake, that area. And there's a lot of things going on where schools are being put in lockdowns, and just for things like this to practice an active shooter situation, which is pretty serious in a school, because if someone should come in a school with the mindset to endanger or hurt or kill any of the kids, the total construct of the school changes. It's an instant panic mode. And so with that said, I'm not taking away anything from any of the parents that lost their kids. I'm not talking negatively, but this is Our Black News, and I'm looking at the different responses, and like I said, each of us have our own mind, our own opinion. Why something like this would happen? Why are there mostly, for the most part, white males participating in killing their teacher in Iowa or shooting, you know, a bunch of students in their school? What's the psychology behind that? And why is the hype so large in the mainstream media when we sit here, a lot of folks, and I'm almost done, a lot of folks sit here and they look and they accept what we do in education. And this is not necessarily an education program. It's like, I think I titled it something, if we can't work together, if we cannot work together, then what? And we're at that point, I think, in Black Minnesota, as well as Black United States, that we have to put that, whatever it is we're doing, and just try to move forward, move the agenda forward, and make sure that we're getting what we need. We can't accept this mediocrity anymore in our schools, at our businesses, at human resource departments around the country, because we're not getting, and I'm not crying victim. No one here is a victim. The thing is that you know when things are being stopped. You know when systems don't work for you. And why is it a group of dark-skinned people, a shade darker than khaki, are at the top of the list of really crappy things, and at the bottom of the list of really good things? You know, I don't know. Did you hear Wardlow the other day, Anthony? This is something that you might have seen and kind of roasted me on. You know, this guy, I think it's Doug Wardlow, running for attorney general or governor, something. And his big argument, he's a Republican, his big campaign thing is critical race theory being taught in schools. And I'm just like, that's not an issue. That should never be a campaign issue. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, no, that's not a campaign issue. I mean, the whole critical race thing is basically they want to erase real history. They don't want to tell you the truth, and they want to just give you the King James version. They want to edit it. They want to say all their flowery things that they supposedly did, and they want to change the whole narrative and not really teach. That's my thought on it. I mean, I don't even know why he's, like you say, bringing that up into political. It's, you know, what goes on in schools, the educators should take care of that. They should set their curriculums, and the parents should be part of it. What are you teaching our kids? I mean, we got to learn the basics, obviously, in school. But then when they want to get into the historical narratives and change them and edit them and say this didn't happen this the way, this didn't happen that way, I relate this to the Aubrey case. If I could just kind of switch, just kind of morph into that. The Aubrey case, okay, these men, vigilantes, go ahead and shoot down this man based on what they thought they said he did, okay? And so they go to this trial down there, and I'm sure his lawyer told him, he said, you guys are total fools. There's nothing I can do for you. You videoed the thing, and you showed what, I'm sure his lawyer told him, we've been getting white folks off for killing Black people for hundreds of years. This is an easy case for us to win, but you dummies go ahead and make the video. And so your guys are going to fry behind that. See, that case, what you see exactly what happened. They went ahead and hunted this man, and they showed it. They made their own video. They made their own video about that. And the difference in that, along with the Michigan case and the Rittenhouse, they're throwing the book at these people in Michigan because they kill their kids. They kill their kids in that school. And so these people, that little guy, he's charged with just having the gun. That's just one of the many charges he has. They didn't charge Rittenhouse with having the gun. Oh, that was fine. He had the gun. He's underage. He's not licensed. He can walk through there and kill people. So you really see disparities in law, the disparities in how they handle these court cases. And the one that's coming up is going to be really interesting. This Potter case where she thought she farted and she actually, so that's when they're going to say it's an accident. They're going to try to get her off on the fact that she just made a mistake.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Anthony, because I was going to ask you about that and Mr. Tucker, and I don't know if it's reaching San Diego yet, but the Arbery case you talked about and the Rittenhouse case, those were very interesting, and I didn't think that he would get charged with anything either. I thought that he'd walk away scot-free just because of what I read, the account of what had happened. I mean, if someone walks up to you, this is how I'm not defending this dude. This dude should happen, and it should be dealt with because he did take lives and hurt people. Something should happen, but we are told that innocent until proven guilty in the court of law. A jury of his peers, or et cetera, et cetera. So we're supposed to accept this and walk away, but he did something bad. Those cops that, like Anthony said, that filmed all that, I mean, those cops, those guys, Romeo Novembers, that filmed the killing of their victim, yeah, they deserve to fry. But getting back up to Minneapolis with this Potter thing, like you said, Anthony, there's a high possibility. A high possibility that she convinces folks it was a mistake. And the only people, and the only people she has to convince are those jurors. That's it.
Don,
let me, you know, I'm in San Diego.
Yes.
And if I came across state lines, came to Minnesota, and shot someone under the guise of, well, you know, my friends are there, and I want to make sure that Don's house is safe, and you know, I want to make sure that nobody gets over to Anthony Scott's house. You know, I don't want Mr. Tucker's house burned down. So I'm coming across state lines with a weapon. I think the outcome would be much different. Not only that, but now in Michigan, they want to charge the parents.
Well,
nobody charged Rittenhouse's mother for bringing him across the state line. You know, so when you talk about the different disparities, and you talk about this, the woman that mistakenly didn't know that a 2-pound taser weighed as much as a 7-pound loaded weapon, you know, that had been experienced for over 23 years. You know, just on the surface, it sounds like it's an open and closed case. But as we have seen with the Rittenhouse case, it also makes a difference in the color persuasion of the defendant.
Well,
and I'm going to go to Mr. Tucker here because I'm sure Mr. Tucker, would you agree with me or not, Mr. Tucker?
She has one of the best criminal lawyers in the state of Minnesota. If I had a case, he would be one of the top lawyers that I would choose to deal with. He's not good, he's damn good. And he's damn convincing. So I would doubt whether she gets any time at all, because the lawyer she has is what we could call in the street. He's the booger with the sugar.
Okay. I definitely understand that. with my background, I understand what you said. Okay.
You know, there's another lawyer Malcolm X's wife had a lawyer, and he told me when he was doing the case of Wounded Knee with Russell, he had told me, he said, "Tucker, you could shoot somebody in the middle of the street and I can get you off." I mean, you know, he was, there's some good ones out there. And, oh, yeah. And they understand the King's English and they understand people. So I don't think she's going to do a day. If I was betting, I'd bet she ain't going to do a day. Okay. He's not just good. He's damn good.
But see, Ben, in that theory, then that doesn't only come down to what you did. It comes down to who you killed. You know?
Yeah.
It comes down to who you killed. I mean, look at the Rittenhouse thing. The judge says, well, we can't look at these people as rioters or victims. And so they were just discarded people. So they said that they just didn't matter. And that probably morphs back to the Dante Wright thing. It's a matter of who she killed. It's not a matter of that she killed somebody. It's that all lives don't, well, I'll just say it. They don't matter the same to this system. All lives don't matter the same.
Well, when have they ever mattered the same?
Exactly. There you go. There you go.
Let's look at this. I mean, you guys both bring up a perfect issue. And here goes my big complaint, and I heard Mr. Tucker say this a long time ago. We don't pause and adjust and move forward. But we can always say and talk about, I'm not saying this in a negative way, so I don't know how you guys are reading this, but chime in. If we don't stop and reset and help other folks stop and reset, we keep talking about the same stuff year after year. We know that it's been shitty for at least 60 years as far as income, housing, education, just in this city alone for Black and brown kids. And adults, and families, and mothers, and fathers. We not all of them, but there's a small, wealthy population, and there's a, well, not wealthy. There's a small population that has money that seems to be doing good, but there's a larger population that's not doing as good. And I don't know how you bring those people along, or you get two sides to connect and change. I mean, where's the NAACP? Where's the Urban League? There are people that should be point people in this while we're out fighting the fight at our daily jobs, doing what we need to do as either public servants or contracted folks within the working force doing whatever we do. So that voice is gone. So how do you adjust it? Because I see now, I watched it real quickly here. I watched the mayor of Minneapolis give some folks that ran against him in political races currently and in the past, put them on a panel. Now, I don't have nothing against these people. I think they're generally nice people. But if you're trying to dump more money into a problem without even addressing the problem, if I have cilantro in the refrigerator and a yam is on top of it and I mess with it for about 2 weeks and I roll that yam off and it's all squishy and I'm throwing that thing away. We've been squishy and nasty for years.
Yeah, what we've been doing, Don, is instead of throwing that potato away, we've been cutting that part off and still trying to use that same rotten potato.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So how do we flip the script, as they say? What procedures? I'm looking at stuff. And Anthony knows, Mr. Tucker knows here locally, we have some really good, I think, semi-powerful Black news outlets. And I'm not even talking about this one. This is just like once a week. And we have guys that are on Facebook Live every day. We have the Black radio station. We have this one Black reporter that I just started checking out. She's really good. She has her own private thing. She's like great. And But when it comes to certain things that are important or where you get the money from, each one of these entities have to reach out to people other than folks that look like them to get money, and then they become beholden to those folks in a way. I mean, I've never seen, like, this one guy on social media, I'll share this with you. So this one group got $750,000 to get more black teachers, blah, blah, blah. Then they got another $200,000, state legislature, blah, blah, blah. Congratulations, okay? So I asked, what is the plan? How will you build capacity in that matter? And how can I help? Those are my three questions. I got feedback saying that, well, as long as you've been a black teacher, you should have been started something to get more black teachers. And my response, my rebuttal was, hey, give me $1 million with zero cash going to me. We'll put 50 people, you know, black folks through some teaching schools. And so rather than saying, okay, we're glad that you want to help, this is our plan and this is how we're going to do it, blah, 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 they went on the straight, they went sideways. And that doesn't make any sense to me. That just, it makes me sad, because next year they're going to be at the state legislature with their hands out again, playing step and fetch it. And they're going to get pennies. So, I mean, I'm just
putting it out.
Go ahead.
I've been a part of many of these organizations for a number of years. I go back to the 60s. I'm not bragging anything. My first wife worked at the Urban League under Whitney Young. And I've been in a room with most of them. They don't know. You know, we used to say in the street, go for what you know. If you don't know much, you can't do much. They don't know. I asked a lady who is the treasurer of the NAACP some questions. You know, how did the NAACP start? Who was the president of the NAACP on the Brown versus the Board of Education? How did the Urban League start? What was his name? Was he Protestant, Catholic, Jewish? What was his name? She did not have any history. They just gave him a little crumbs. And I asked her, I said, have you train any of those people who just joined the NAACP about their historical background? Who was attorney in Brown versus the Board of Education? Who started the Urban League? What are their charters? Why didn't they allow the NAACP to own property? Okay. I asked her a series of those questions. They don't know. I said, they give you guys $130,000. Little nickels and dimes. I said, have you decided to train anybody to give them a history of your organization? She said, no, we don't want to do that. I said, you're the treasurer. I said, do you have any bond? Are you bonded as a treasurer? She said, no. Okay. You bring people in off the street, they don't know any of the ins and outs of governance. They don't know how to run an organization. Do you have training sessions for people who want to join the NAACP or the Urban League? You just come in the room and say, pay a little $30 and you're a member of the NAACP or the Urban League or whatever organization with no background information. How do you do that? What did you do with the $130,000? They went flat-footed.
But Mr. Tucker, that has been the ongoing narrative of what's happening. excuse me. And so I was telling folks that they should buy memberships to the Minneapolis Urban League or the Urban League of the Twin Cities and come in there 100 deep, buy a membership, go to the board meetings, participate, observe for the first 3 months, build capacity. Have a members meeting and then decide what they want to do with the urban leagues of the Urban League of the Twin Cities. Decide what kind of leadership they want to have running the organization. Last year, as you know, the Council on Black Minnesotans, or the Minnesota Council of African Heritage, I get those mixed up because I just like the Council on Black Minnesotans, of course. They did not have a legislative agenda, according to the new executive director, who's a nice kid, and seems to have a lot going on. But that's troublesome. And we know that the current, this is an election year for every one of those folks in the legislature, every one of them, including the governor. And we're set at a position right now to make some requests, to get some bills written, to do some stuff at the state legislature that we haven't been able to do for 6 years. You know, and I think the people that are in place now are into this boutique stuff. They're not into the only great thing I see coming in 2022 is the Page Amendment. I like the Page Amendment. The Page Amendment is going to straighten a bunch of stuff out in education. I do like the Page Amendment. I like Stripes University. I like the Modern Classroom Project initial bill that's being authored by a great, great senator in Minnesota's Senate.
Don, can I ask you now, are these things, the things that you're talking about, are these going to be voted on before the election, or are these part of campaign promises that if you elect me, I will get these things through, like we've had for the last 50, 60 years?
400 years.
That's a great question. The thing is, the state legislature, I think, goes from like January till March. They're pretty much done. And anything they do usually goes into effect July 1st of that year. So the elections aren't till November. So whatever they're promising they got to do, they would have to do it before the end of March or risk losing everything at the state legislature, including the governor. Now, the governor is doing some stuff where they're starting to hand out kibbles and bits to folks in our community, to the same folks they normally. It's like the Willie Lynch. We go control you, and we'll give this person something and have you thinking that you might get something next, but just ride with this person until March, and then you get cut off. But by then, the person who actually got it is speaking so highly of these elected officials that don't look like them that it influences a large part of the population into putting these same people back in office. We can't really afford the same governor. I don't necessarily know if we need a Republican governor, but we do need someone that we can have access to.
Don, let me say this here. The governor gave the Boulets, and the Boulets are really the bourgeoisie, mm-hmm. some money to Teddy. Stop the fire. Okay? If I was the powers that be, I'd do the same thing. I'd give a piece of money to somebody who I know wasn't going to do nothing. That I can assure that they're going to go in and stratify themselves. I'm assured of that. So I'd give them some money. Say, go out there and stop gang violence. Okay? I'd give them some money because I know they ain't going to do anything. I'd play the game like they play the game.
Well, okay. I think, you know, on that note, I think really what they've got us, you know, as Black people, I mean, the poor versus the broke. I mean, that seems to be what the modus operandi is. I mean, we don't go into the legislature. We don't go in with plans. We don't go in with things where we've done our homework to say, this is what we need school-wise, education-wise, jobs-wise, employment-wise. we don't have a concise agenda that we want to push through. Then their agenda is just, okay, well, we got the poor against the broke, and we'll just keep them, you know, they'll just keep them playing this game down there while we do our thing up here. And so until we, and we can't, urban leagues and NAACP and all that, it's passe right now. But to me, they're just names, because I don't see anything on a national scale or local scales where they're making any kind of difference in things that they were supposedly created to do. So who was it left up to? The poor versus the broke. And that's why you continue to see all this. I mean, Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's been more violent and increasing violence than any, unless maybe it has been going on, but they're putting it in the paper now. They're throwing this out there. Every newscast, somebody's got shot somewhere. Somebody's got shot. Somebody's got killed. I mean, this is a new anomaly to me here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Maybe they weren't telling us before. Now we see it.
Now that becomes a problem. Something I wanted to just, since Anthony brought it up, you know, I was watching people in downtown Minneapolis protesting the Rittenhouse verdict. And there were like a lot of people down there marching. I watched this little car drive through the crowd. It's not funny. Drive through the crowd. Did you see that? They reported it on every channel, like some, you know, the car. I saw people jump on top of this car, hit it, try to stop it, try to break the windows. And I don't know if they ever caught the person. And I don't know if the person hurt anybody. I didn't go back and look at the details. But it was really troubling for me. And I think I sit back and I look at stuff objectively, sometimes at least. Well, all the times, except for a few cases that concerned my immediate surroundings. But I want to know why these people were protesting the Rittenhouse verdict in Wisconsin. Well, because go ahead, please.
The incident that you're talking about, I believe, it was a high school parade. And it was a bunch of kids that were there. It was actually a Christmas parade. The guy.
I'm talking about locally here. Locally here, after the Rittenhouse verdict, there were people in downtown Minneapolis by the government center protesting, marching down the street in front of the government center. That's what I was talking about. I mean, I know what you're talking about. I was talking about here locally. Yeah. And so my question my position is, it's like there's 1,000 things wrong or not right here in our city or in our state that we could take that power and turn it a different direction. I'm not knocking anybody. You did what you felt like doing. That's why, you know, people like James and I and others served in the military. You can do that. You can protest. You can walk down the street. No one's going to do anything to you. The police aren't going to, you know, beat you. Well, sometimes not beat you in the street for protesting. But the thing is, why not take that same power and turn that protesting power in another direction?
But as anybody see, you know, I agree with you about, you know, there's a lot of things that we need to protest about. Now, you know, the Rittenhouse verdict is something that I was protesting about myself, so I can't really, you know.
Yeah, you're one of them. Yes.
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm one of them. You know, I'm also one of them that says, you know, reform the police by any means necessary. I'm one of those too. But okay. But my point is, like you said, there are a lot of things that we should be protesting before we start talking about Rittenhouse or Aubrey. You know, we should be protesting, you know, the standard of education. We should be protesting, about why are there, as Mr. Tucker continuously points out, why are there no black banks in our neighborhood? Why do we have food deserts in our, why should we be on the corner every day asking why do we not have a grocery store here? Yeah,
and why kids can't read and write. We should be
protesting. We really, we really don't want it to. Don, I am so frustrated about, as people, I've told people continuously, I don't know what's going on here, and I don't understand how I have a 17-year-old that cannot read and cannot do basic math, but yet we've had some educator along this level keep passing him on. At some point, you got to say stop. Hey, no, you can't just keep passing people on.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's ugly. It's ugly. And when I see the protesters out there protesting the Rittenhouse verdict in Minnesota, and they're rightfully, they can do that. They have that right or whatever. But when I'm looking at what's going on here, when a lot of us are looking at what's going here, I already know that I don't have any protections or people to go to if I was to lose my job. I already know that if there was a civil rights problem, if there was heinous interference with a tort interference with a contract, I can't go to anybody in the NAACP. I have tried to reach out to the president and the leadership of the St. Paul NAACP now for 3 weeks, and no one has returned my call. And my first cousin is the president.
Don. Yes. My grandmother. Who was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, broken bow. You don't have anybody with any skill set in perception or depth of thinking. You know, she was an odd person out, so she had a little money, and she was one of those that had little accoutrements. And was very effective in what she did. But Kate was just a strong woman. You don't have those people around anymore. They don't have it. They don't have it. Professor Gould says you have 5-10% at the top, 30% at the bottom, and the rest of them are spread out through the rest of the area. You just don't have it. It's not having it is not the real problem. But if you don't know, you don't know. He who knows and knows not is a wise man. Who knows not, he knows not. Those people don't know.
So they don't know. But Mr. Tucker, you know that in the Twin Cities and St. Paul and Minneapolis, it's just a reality that we sit back, everyone here. Everybody can think they could do a better job. You see something, you say, oh, I could do a better job. Or you don't like something, you say, oh, I would do that differently. And that's okay, but that's just how the psychology of humans actually works when you see something that's really effed up. You know, in a system. It's like I'm watching, and as we all watch, and I put this up every now and then. Let me just do it again. Here goes the deal. Let me see which one it is. So this is 2019, $600 million a year, yet an achievement gap still persists. And we got to get this education thing fixed sooner than later. Because $600 million a year, and we still have substitute teacher shortages. And it has nothing really to do with the money. It has to do with the policy. I know plenty of black parents that can come into a school for a day and be a substitute teacher and follow the home teacher's instructions and teach all 4 or 6 of those classes each day while that teacher is gone. But the policy, especially here in Minnesota, blocks and obstructs that maybe single mom with somewhat of an education, associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, might be unemployed from signing up to do that.
So where did that $60 million go, Don?
$600 million. It's distributed, it's distributed around the state.
Eden Prairie, Edina. Not in the city of Minneapolis, not in the city of St. Paul.
Let's be fair, because they do rate it depending on the achievement gap.
Look at the quality of the schools out in the suburban areas. The Woodbury. Look what they have out there, what they offer their kids out there. They offer none of those things in the city. And this is by design. This is by design. They run freeways through here. They do everything that they can do roughshod over the black people. And the only way you get out of it, you got to move out there. That's the way you're going to get a good school for you pay.
Anthony, my business partner lives in a place called Edina, which is one of the richest suburbs in Minneapolis.
Ding dong.
And he has the same problems in Edina. I have a lady friend.
Is he black? Is your friend black?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's,
Hey, same problem. Okay. It doesn't make any difference. It's not as broadcast as much. Okay. And we think that certain people are satisfied with what goes on in the suburb. Dr. Green had more black kids out of North High School and are harder to get on go to number one rated colleges than Edina. Okay?
Why they got rid of it. That's why they got rid of it. That's why it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, but that's true. You got to understand, they do not want to have black people informed.
Okay, that's been my point, Mr. Tucker. The thing is, it's like you said something about these suburban schools, and Anthony was talking about these suburban schools more. When you walk into a suburban school, and I've been to three so far this year, and it takes a lot to impress me, and I walked in these three schools, and I went, OMG. This has become, it's like a glass house of total immersion of education. But, like Mr. Tucker said, if you're a shade darker than khaki, you have the same troubles you have if you go to an inner city school. That's just going to be a fact of life. They haven't solved that out there. They definitely haven't solved it in the city. But yet we're talking equity, inclusion, diversity, all these little buzzwords or culturally responsive teaching, all these things that are common sense, but there's no foundation built, for our kids that really, really need it.
Yes, capitalism is a wonderful system, but it has some negatives to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Capitalism and democracy are incongruent. It's like trying to mix oil and water. You can't have democracy without information. Okay? And you can't have capitalism with information. If I can't exploit you, and that's capitalism, I can't exploit you when you are informed. If you're uninformed, I can exploit you. We have a system that's getting ready to break down. We're going to have an autocratic system. They're saying, we don't want these people to be as smart as me. We don't want them to be as knowledgeable. And the real tragedy is that even in our community, they don't understand. When I asked the treasurer of the NAACP 3 days ago, who was the lawyer that handled Brown versus the Board of Education. They did not know.
Oops.
Okay. Did you know that the head of the NAACP doing Brown versus the Board of Education never went to an annual dinner by the NAACP? They have no history. They don't inform themselves. Okay. I don't expect anything out of them. And like in Edina, my friend girl out there talk about how they throw people off the balconies. talk about the number of fights they have and all the other negative things, but it's not in the news. You got to understand how this system works. Okay? So, you know, and then that's not in, so important is that they don't bother to inform people. I said, you got $130,000, some kibbles and bits. What you going to do with the money? Have you had any training sessions?
You can't ask people that, Mr. Tucker. You know that. You can't ask none of the folks any of those questions. Go ahead, James.
Well, I don't think we can keep hiding behind the fact that they don't know. If they don't know, don't put your ass in office.
True.
You know, I mean, so because they don't know, that should be part of our research also. You know, we know that they don't know, so therefore, don't keep putting them in office. We elect these people year after year after year. Don, how many people, you know, we've had some I think we had a mayoral candidate.
A couple school board
candidates on the show. How many of those people got elected? And not only that, how many of them really knew? Mr. Tucker asked the wrong questions and they're scratching their head and like they live out here in San Diego.
Yeah, none of them won that. Did anyone win that we interviewed? And that, like, they came close. One person came really close. But the thing is, the one person that came close, she knew. But the other ones, maybe not as much. And that goes to the point of, it seems people are comfortable with a certain style than a depth of knowledge. You know, they're cool. Like, we're going to do this because this person, this is a Kardashian over here. This is Minneapolis, St. Paul's version of the status of the Kardashians or someone really famous. And that's where we want to lay all our chips right there down in front of this person. And so we get inept functional politics for people, for not just black people, it's hurting everybody. And then when you look at the school system, you go like, wow, that's a big monster of an institution. And how do parents, especially parents of BIPOC parents, how do you navigate this system which is set up to keep you at more than an arm's length away and never in a classroom to actually see what's going on and still, like James said earlier, you know, you're dealing with disparities. There's no reason that a 10th, 11th, 12th grader should not be able to write a paragraph on any topic once they read a story about it in 7 to 10 minutes.
Well, Don, you know, let's just take the gloves off. I mean, Don, you think that the answer is the Republicans?
That's not what I'm even saying. The answer, I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that at all. For the record, I am not saying that at all. The Republicans and Democrats haven't solved anything in the Twin Cities.
That's true.
Right pocket, left pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just, this money, it'd be like James and I in virtual reality passing back and forth a $5 bill. That's what that is. And the politics in the school system has turned it into a business, therefore capitalism, like Mr. Tucker was talking about, is the play of the day, every day. How much money can we make for our bottom line to expand? It's nothing more than the capitalism piece. And I'm not saying capitalism is bad. But then again, Anthony, to your point, I'm not saying it has anything to do with the Republicans. I'm not saying it has anything to do with the Democrats. Although the current leadership leans so far to the left that they're dipping their toes in Hillary Clinton's swimming pool. Okay. Which might be a problem at some point when it comes to policy or Bill Clinton. That might come to policy for black
people. Don, quit. Well, you know, let me tell you something. When the Republicans are in power, they state and the Democrats eat hamburger. When the Democrats is in power, they eat steak and Republicans eat hamburger. It's right pocket left. It's a game. You understand? It's a game. All they do is switch money from one group to the next group. Okay. It's a game. And they said on many occasions they didn't want Larry Tucker in the room.
Okay. I wonder why.
They didn't want Larry Tucker in the room.
Can't figure that out.
Yeah, because I might use a four-letter word in there.
Wow.
Because I want to talk to them on a level that I know that they're on. When I go in this room with these people, I know they don't know. And James, you can agree, when you spend that time in the streets, if it took you over 30 seconds to understand who was the police in the room, you're going to jail. if you can't discern that in 30 seconds, you're going to jail. Okay? These people don't have it. They don't have it. When you give X number of $1,000s to the Boule to help the black problem in the community, they know that those Boules ain't going to do nothing.
I agree 100%.
Well, what about, well, just quickly, you know, Don, Mr. Tucker, James, I saw in the paper today that the mayor here, that they were referred to by as a little mayor by a former co-host here, put together a task force, a team that's going to make this city safe. Mm-hmm. He's gotten Nakima Levy. He had a preacher. Yeah,
your friend.
Preacher. I've never seen the preacher before. I mean, a young man, I had never seen him. And two or three other people, and they're going to be meeting. They're going to be meeting under the auspices of the little mayor, and they're going to keep this city safe. I mean, have you gentlemen seen any of that?
I did.
Mr. Tucker.
I saw it, and I'm like, okay. But you know, Anthony and Mr. Tucker in Minneapolis, that's by design. Because if the person that they said, and I am not slandering or defaming her at all, Dr. Nakima Levy Armstrong, if she's leading it, she's going to have people under her that agree with her agenda. She's not going to go get Reverend McAfee. She's not going to go get.
Why wasn't he part of it?
Yeah. She's not going to call Mr. Tucker. She's not going to call you, Anthony. She's definitely not calling me. So she's going to call
people. She's not going to call anyone like me.
No, never. And she's not going to call Louis King. She's not going to call any, you know, she's going to call people who she feels comfortable with. And again, she has that right. So we get to sit back and watch a task force. Remember, the city of Minneapolis has the crime prevention office, the Office of Crime Prevention. Yeah. Millions of dollars a year. You know, now they're having this task force. And if the crime prevention office couldn't solve it with the money that they got, rightfully so, again, because they're working, it's a full-time job. How is this task force? What is this task force going to tell the mayor to do, and how long is it going to take them? Because, you know, you don't want to do a task force for 2 weeks. There has to be some kind of financial benefit to it.
Didn't you re-elect this mayor?
Anthony really liked it.
But I'm saying, wasn't this mayor re-elected? So he already knew the problems before. He's had experience with these problems. So to me, Don, this is a bunch of BS. You already know the problem. You already know the solution. Get on about it.
Yeah, but it wasn't fair because
how long was he in office before that?
Like for 4 years, something like that. But
he didn't know any. He didn't learn anything in 4 years.
Here's what happened. They felt bad for him because, well, just listen, hear me out. Because the George Floyd incident and a couple more incidents happened while he was in office. So all focus went to that. And then he had to fight with the city council, defund the police, fund the police, do this, do that. There's all this stuff. So he didn't get really a chance to do his mayorshipping over the people's.
Hey, John, I talked to that little boy. Okay? And that little kid is dunce as you can be. He doesn't have no experience. No experience. And he was put there by a certain group of people that I don't want to get into. Okay? He's not a player. He's a puppet.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. And I just put up this comment right here. It's 10:32, but this okay because we started like a minute late. Miss Sims brings up a very important piece that I want to give her some background on. This blue line through North Minneapolis to out to Brooklyn Park and the Upper Harbor. I sat in the Harrison Neighborhood Community Center in 2008 with a gentleman by the name of Lenny Chisholm. When they had the map of that blue line in 2008 going out up North Minneapolis, they were deciding if it was going to go down.
Was it Penn?
Penn. Broadway. Or if it was going to go down Glenwood or like to the park and then go up, or was it going to go down Broadway and how it was going to turn. And so they had all these artist renditions of this light rail path. It looked like a real picture. I mean, it had the real houses in the background that were current in the neighborhood, how it would look. This is 2008. This is 2008. They were informing the black community, those who came to neighborhood meetings in 2008 about this light rail. And some people are saying like, oh, what? A light rail? You got to understand, if they put a light rail train anywhere near Penn and Broadway, the corner of Penn and Broadway has the KMOJ studios. If you know anything about broadcasting and radio, the vibrations from the track will interrupt the signal. Just ask NPR. NPR lobbied to move the light rail or reinforce their broadcast studios in their building. I think they negotiated something where they won. Where's the money going to come from, or is that something that's even going to be looked at? And it's not only, well, you know, KMOJ is a center for communication and development. They should be training people. They probably are. I don't know. I haven't focused my efforts to KMOJ for a long time.
Well, Northlight Development is in there too.
So. Yeah. Well, they're not a radio station. They're not a broadcast organization. This is a broadcast organization. I'm just saying that there's a lot of things to be considered. And going back to what Mr. Tucker said, if people don't know this or understand this, the powers that be will be able to run right through them. And there'll be missed opportunities. I'll put it like that. Hey, guys. Let me go ahead.
Just say this quickly. I was a real estate appraiser for almost 50 years. I've been to court 42 times on real estate issues. I was involved in all the land from downtown Minneapolis to the airport. Okay. I understand what the issues were, been in a courtroom with it. You know, people with money do what they want to do. Okay. And you had people in the room who did not understand. Okay. Did not understand and didn't want to understand and didn't have the capacity to understand. I'm going to use a phrase my mother used. It's got a lot of skin milk masquerading as cream.
Ding dong.
They don't have no experience in there. You know, I was in the courtroom with all those issues on vibration. Okay. I spent 68 days in the courtroom with those issues. Okay. I don't want to get into it. They make political decisions. They don't make economic decisions. They make political decisions.
None at all.
And if they like you, you get money. If they don't like you, they don't get money.
Period. Exactly. And that's what it boils down to. Well, guys, it's the end of the show, and I appreciate everyone getting up and joining us today for the show. And we'll be on next Saturday. We got a couple of weeks. I know Christmas week, I will try to do a show on that Saturday after Christmas, but I will be out of town. And I know a lot of you guys might be going out of town, so we might just play a rerun. But I appreciate everyone tuning in and listening to the show. I put up this last comment. This is a legitimate concern. Ask the business advisory committee set up by the Met Council with members from the West Broadway businesses. Yeah, that West Broadway business coalition is kind of interesting too, if you dig through the history of that. And we're going to continue this conversation on most of these things for next Saturday.
Well, we have to talk about this task force again. I mean, the people that they put on there, they even dug Sharon Sales Belton. They dug her out from under her rock. She's part of it. Former mayor, former city councilman, was part of the task force that closed Minneapolis schools, Minneapolis Central, along with Richard Green. And I know Mr. Tucker praises Richard Green, but he closed the school, and we need to talk about that too.
Yeah.
Powers and he didn't like Richard Green because most of the blacks that come out of his high school was able to go to Princeton and other major colleges, where the black whites coming out of Edina school went to fourth-ranked colleges. Richard produced.
Well, hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for watching. We'll be back next week.
Sounds good.